Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo.
Und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur. Und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.
It was early Sunday and I was ready to treat the world. I live in a relatively ignorant neighborhood. A happenstance of myself only managing to get a minimum wage job at a local fast food joint nearby, the Burger Shack. But this morning, I was going to help educate the area on real music. I whipped out my guitar, plugged it into the amp, and aimed it out the window. I gave it a gentle pat, the tinge of reverb muttering from the speaker. But just as I was about to pound out some classic riffs, my neighbor's alarm clock went off, and it all came rushing back to why I hate living here. The worst of the worst music one could think of shot out from my neighbor's open window and immediately sent me back. I fell from the window lip and almost knocked my guitar. "Good morning, Stephen. Want to go squirrel catching?" he screamed from his window. This was a strange sport he seemed to relish in. I'd catch him and his friend doing this in their spare time, and they seemed fascinated by it. So much so that they seemed to always think I'd want in on the action. I wanted to respond right away with a firm no, but I was still on my back. However, this was enough for invitation. "Great, we'll be right over." "Oh no," I thought. No, I muttered to myself. I set my guitar down when I heard some knocks on the door. They were here. "I wonder who that could be," I sarcastically thought to myself. I opened the door, and there they were. Goofy looks in their faces, absolute absence behind their eyes. I never know if they're strung up on junk 24/7, but they float about in life and have absolutely no issue with that. "Ready to go?" said Sean. Sean was short and stocky and always wore a shirt, even when not working. Someone must have told him to always dress for the job you want, but with none of the actual advice on how to act on it. He too works in the Burger Shack, always overdressed for the job. His friend was next to him, Patton, my other neighbour. Grotesquely overweight, absolutely dumb as bricks, and always wearing casual shorts, no matter the season. "No, I'm not ready to go," I say and slam the door. I think I'm firm with my answer. I hear Patton say, "He doesn't want to play with us," through the door. But Sean, delusional as usual, says, "No, Patton, he's just not ready." After that, I hear what I dread. More knocks. I open the door to Sean, immediately asking, "Ready now?" "No," I shout back and slam the door once more. You'd think this would be enough, but that's underestimating the sheer determination of these two. This cycle happened several more times before I just ripped the door open and screamed, "No, I'm not ready. I'll never be ready. Don't you get it?" "Sure we do," is all he says back. Simply just confusing or just plain dumb. "Shouldn't you be at work today, Sean?" I ask, trying to think of any way to get him out of my hair. "I'd love to be at work today, but it's Sunday. The Burger Shack is closed." At first, I was irked by how sad he was. I never knew someone so excited to work minimum wage. But then an idea came to me. "Hold on a sec, I'll be right out," I say suspiciously. I knew this would hold him there for long enough. I strapped my guitar around me, slipped back into the house and out the back door. I quickly hopped the fence and made my way around the neighborhood into town. I knew exactly where I would get my peace. Slipping through the side streets, I made it to the building I knew would be empty. The Burger Shack. I pulled out my key, something I used to open in the mornings, and went in. "Hello?" I called out, just in case. No response. Perfect. Alone at last, I thought to myself, and pulled at my guitar to play. "Stephen! Stephen!" I heard from outside. I quickly dipped into the kitchen to hide as they came into the restaurant. How the hell did they know I was here? They must have seen me. They looked around, all while calling out for me. The kitchen area in this fast food joint was small and linked to the eating area through a porthole where orders were put through, so I knew the kitchen wasn't the best place to hide. Now that I was in the kitchen, I couldn't get out without getting past them, so I had to go further in. The only enclosed space was the freezer unit, so I made my way in there. "Stephen?" I could hear over and over from around the restaurant. They got close, but seemed to search the main hall and the kitchen. "Well, he's not here. I'll bet that eager beaver's already down at the park catching squirrels." This blatantly wrong revelation kicked them into action, and they left to look for me elsewhere. "Finally, they're gone," I say to myself as I tried to open the door, and heard a metallic clunk in response. The door was known to be stiff, so I tried it again, harder this time. But when the clunk rejected me again, all I could think was, "Oh no." I sat down, guitar on my lap. I was suddenly regretting only coming out in a t-shirt. It wasn't long until I was overcome with an uncontrollable shiver. My breathing slowed and slowed. "Oh well," I thought to myself, "someone will realize I'm gone and come looking for me. I'll be out of here in no time." This was the last thought I had before passing out. I heard the faint sounds of grinding metal. The ticks of steel bending echoed around. I tried to stir awake, but couldn't move. There was nothing but blackness from my eyes being stuck shut. I heard the slam of heavy metal, and though my eyes were closed, I could pick up the faint rays of light. A muffled voice rang out, "Oh my, a frozen sapien!" After that, I heard a whirring sound and flashes of red. It felt warm, but very quickly, too warm. I felt a horrible burning sensation as the feeling came back into my body. "I'll be out of here in no time," I muttered to myself, a continuing thought from earlier. "Greetings, primitive," came a robotic voice, no longer muffled. As I slowly woke, many realizations kicked in. First was the amount of ice around me. It seemed I was in the freezer for longer than I thought. Way longer. I was shivering still, yet had a burn on my back end. I looked up in fright at the figure before me. "Sean?" I stuttered through blue lips. "Is that you?" "Sean? No, I'm Seantron. Welcome to the future." "What?" I stammered back. "Welcome to the future," he repeated. The future? At this, I looked around. Everything around me was shinier, unnaturally so. A chromatic shine gleamed off everything. The material was foreign to what I'd known, yet had an earthly familiarity. "Huh? Okay, what's going on here? Why is everything chrome?" I said, confused. "Everything is chrome in the future," he shoots back. "What?" I start, before panic sets in. I ran to look outside the window, and indeed, not only are the constructs of the building a shining metallic material, but the nature outside too has a sheen. "Oh my," escapes my lips as I notice even the sand is now an unnatural reflective hue. "Impossible, he's lying," I say to myself in utter denial. Then, a thing of beauty comes forth. A flower. Nature tried to reach its grasp through the unnatural layer. It was untouched by the chromatic curse under the chrome dirt and flicked up from the ground. But this ray of hope is quashed quickly when a vehicle shoots around and a figure comes out and immediately sprays the flower with an unknown substance that causes the flower to change. Before the figure ran back to the vehicle and sped off, the flower went from its natural beauty to the uniform shade of chrome instantly. It was sickening. He's right, I mutter. Of course I'm right, Stephen. Just ask my clones. I flinched as three more Shauns suddenly appeared next to him. It's easy to dress up others like you and pretend they're you, but this was something else entirely. Even their smallest body language just screamed Shaun. It was uncanny. My head started spinning. This was too much to take in. In a panic, I looked around for answers, but found only more questions, because on the wall, I saw a calendar set to the current date. April 1st, 4022. How long was I in the freezer? I couldn't take it anymore. I wanted to wake up. I fell to the floor in shock. All I did was curl my body in spasms, forcing myself to wake up from this nightmare. Future, I kept saying to myself. Future, future, future. A mantra that was not at all comforting. While in complete disarray, a heavy hit whacked me on the head. I held my face as I looked at what had happened. It seemed, in my breakdown, that Shaun recognized this and tried to snap me out of it. It somewhat worked. Thanks, I muttered. After a moment of composing myself, I shifted my thoughts into action. Now listen, all of you. I don't belong here. This is all a horrible mistake. Please, we've got to do something, I pleaded. I knew that my thoughts would only run in circles. They were right. Though I feel I'm of at least slightly above average intelligence in my time, here, in the future, they are right. I really am a primitive being. If anyone could help me, it was people from this time. The main Shaun paused for a moment. He seemed to contemplate my situation. His simple mind was more excited to see me than thinking about how displaced I truly was. But, taken aback, I could see him thinking of something to do. Squirrel catching, he exclaimed. That was his idea. The first thing that came to his head when thinking of something to do was squirrel catching. I knew my hopes were misplaced. It seemed, no matter what era it was, Shaun was always Shaun. Another voice joined the fray. A dullard sound, low IQ dripping from the inflection. Squirrel catching? It said excitedly. Around he came, Patton, both heads of him. Instead of the average hick he usually presented himself as, he was still that, but now with two fully functioning heads, both operating of their own accord. I was freaking out inside at the sight of this, but kept it under control to ask one more time before lashing out. All my fears at this point were instead boiling into a red shade of anger. Just listen to me. I'm not supposed to be here. I've got to get back to my own time period. I've got to go, I begged. Well, why didn't you just ask? The time machine is down the hall, to the left, Shaun responded simply. I didn't even have time to be dumbfounded. As soon as he said this, I dashed away. No thank yous, no goodbyes, just haste. I ran down the hall into another room, though this one was different from what I'd expected. Instead of the uniform chrome the rest of the world seemed to fall into, the ceiling was a fluorescent green and the walls were covered in pink hue stripes. Well, I wouldn't have chosen this interior, I bemused. The room was empty besides one key feature, a wall switch with two settings, future and past. Right then, it was on the topmost setting, which made sense. All I'd have to do is flip it to the middle, I thought to myself. But another thought came to me. If Shaun exists in the future, I'd better go to the past. I flipped the lever from its most upright position with no regard straight to the bottom. Immediately, a siren blared and the room clapped from existence from within the burger shack. Lights and particles flew past at dizzying speeds. I witnessed something no one from my generation nor many others would ever comprehend. I truly feel primitive now, just trying to think of mortal words to describe even a modicum of what I saw. My first indication that this might not have been a good idea was when the room crashed into the ground below. The room was built into the burger shack, so the fact that the establishment didn't exist when I was flung into it meant it no longer latched to a construct. My first worry was if the room was still powered. I heard a scuttle from next to me and saw a strange shell creature tinker past. Then I saw the tail end of some animal in the distance moving between the foliage. I didn't recognize it either, though I wasn't well versed in the animal kingdom to know what this meant at the moment. Wow, this is sort of an old world charm, I thought to myself. Nature was indeed king here. I'd never seen such a rich and untouched natural environment, the only hint of civilization being the gaudy room dumped in the middle of the greenery, a stark contrast to where I just came from. Then, I heard more rustles. These seemed more deliberate. More and more rustles came from the tree line, then a shape swung from tree to tree, too fast for me to catch. I sharpened my gaze, but it happened again, too fast to catch. A shadowy blur bounced from branch to branch, and it was getting closer. Huh? I said out loud, involuntarily. Suddenly, it lurched from behind the closest tree. My heart pounded as I started to really fear for my life. I was safe in civilization, but it began to sink in how far away from that I truly was. I slowly approached, taking the initiative. But as soon as I saw the lurching figure flinch, I screamed, "Stay back," on sight. But the figure didn't jump out at me, and instead approached curiously. Their jaw was heavily protruding, and their teeth almost resembled fangs. Hair covered so much of their bare skin. But I recognized this silhouette immediately. It was a primitive Sean. He slowly approached, slowly reaching his hand to me, where upon contact, he immediately retracted it. He sniffed curiously, as if familiarizing with the scent. No thanks, I blurted. A breeze rolled past my ear, but it carried a fetid stink. A rotten wind whisked rhythmically past me with the escalating sound of breathing. I slowly turned to see the face of a disgusting Neolithic pattern. He bared his teeth in a rictus grin, revealing a rotten grimace. Hi there, I said nervously. Well, I better get going now. I had no idea if they understood my words, but I hoped they understood my tone and body language. As I backed away, the past Sean reached out and firmly grasped my arm. Yes, that's my arm, I said lightly, trying to diffuse the situation. He then picked up my arm and did something unexpected. He lifted it to his head, placed it on top, and the hunched pattern licked it. Oh, that's sweet, I said with a hint of irritation. Though not in rage, Patton seemed to lash out and started smashing the ground. Maybe he was excited? He shivered, and I realized he was getting scared. From behind me came more rustles. A chill ran down my spine. If there was something behind me enough to scare my human-sized compatriots, then I'd stand no chance with my less-than-athletic body. The two ducked for cover, something easier for them as they were already near the foliage line. I turned slowly to see what was emerging. It was a squirrel. Oh, look, it's just a little squirrel, I said matter-of-factly, trying to diffuse the tension. But they weren't buying it. They started screaming and hysterically running around. I just wanted to leave. Well, I'm going away now, I said, trying to back up, using the panic as a distraction. I walked away while they were still faffing about. The future, the past, the present. Those two were still dull as ever. I found a nice shady spot away from the fools. No reason to waste this time anyway. It was still my day off after all. I pulled over the guitar that was still strapped to me and tried to play the first notes to Smoke on the Water. But each time, I never got far. After every few notes, either Sean or Patton would scream. It was almost rhythmic. The pattern had a purpose. "What are you simpletons doing?" I stormed back, screaming. I watched them for a moment. One of them would grab the squirrel, where it'd nibble on his skin, causing a small cut, to which he'd scream and let go. At this, the other would somehow think it was a good idea to try it himself. This cycle was repeated ad nauseam. "You're supposed to catch these things, not torture yourself with them," I yelled. I grabbed some sticks and foliage and made a makeshift net. It wasn't long before I had something workable. "This ought to make things go a little smoother," I said, handing them their tools. As almost expected, they showed their amazing intelligence once more and put it around their lips. "Give me those things. You're supposed to catch them like this," I screamed before showing them how it was done. "It's called squirrel catching," I told them. They loved it. Excitement beamed from them as they immediately chased the critter around with their nets. "Ah, finally," I said to myself contently, as I sat down on a nearby rock. I started strumming a few jingles to myself, just as a warm-up. But this time, they heard it. And they did not like it. They broke out into a frenzied scream. The sound was too alien for them. They turned to me with so much malice in their eyes, a stark contrast to the glazed-over look they usually had. I didn't even hesitate. My flight response kicked right in and I fled, luckily in the direction I came. I jumped straight back into the room I came from as they started climbing around and hammering at the walls. It sounded like this place wouldn't hold for very long, so I started frantically jamming the lever up and down repeatedly to try and elicit any response from the machine. "Get me out of here," I screamed, and I heard a crunching snap as I did. Oh no, I thought, did they break in? I looked around, but I realized I still held something as I turned my body. The switch. I looked back and saw the mechanism. I had no idea where it was last set, but I knew I no longer had control of the machine. I figured the machine was simple, easy enough for me to understand. It only had past and future on it. But then the icon changed. It rolled like a slot machine and landed on some mismatched icons. It seemed there was more to it, but it was too late now for any kind of discovery. I was at the mercy of what the machine did. "Loser," the machine spat out. I didn't have time to dwell on how one could lose on a time machine as the room was snapped out of existence. It shook and rumbled. I could tell I was no longer lodged in the ground. This time, the room warped more drastically. I could feel my skin pull, but it wasn't just an on-surface sensation when I looked down. I was being stretched like putty around the room. Colors changed wildly as my eyes rocked from the motions. My ears were barraged with an almost siren-like scream. The room was at its limits. I was at my limits too, as I felt the room stretch and stretch until I felt as thin as hair. And I blacked out. I stirred. I couldn't feel how long it had been since losing consciousness, but I was alone in a white room that seemed to have no ends. It had to have been a room, as I couldn't see the sky. I slowly got up to explore. The only other things that stuck out were the coloured squares, seemingly scattered out in geometric randomness. They didn't adhere to any logic. I lifted one to see what it was, and it just slowly floated up slightly and faded away from sight. This was a lot to take in, but one thought pushed its way to the front. "He's not here. No more Sean. I may finally have found a place where I can be all alone." More colours appeared, taking the form of my last said word. It lurched from my mouth as I said it, alone, shot out in fluorescent colors. Then another appeared, as it was spoken next to me. Alone, and again, alone, and again, alone, and again, alone, alone, alone. It repeated around me, echoing in the vast expanse of infinity around me. Each time lit up with strange, cosmic colourful letters. I didn't know what this meant, nor did I want to find out. Either I was truly alone and this world was trying to crush my sanity, or I wasn't alone, and with their power, I didn't want to find out their intention. I gotta get out of here, I screamed. The problem was, I no longer knew where the room was. So I just ran. I chose a direction and sprinted as fast as I could. But though I couldn't mark where I was, the room now being all stark white made it feel like I was running in circles. All the while, the sounds of my stomping feet were drowned out by the eternally echoing voices of the infinite, seeping into my ears, feeding my panic. Where's the machine? Where's anything? Where? I screamed. I knew running was useless, so I just started stomping in frustration, almost like a toddler not getting what they wanted. I jumped and jumped in rage, until I crashed down into a room below. Looking around, I recognized the gaudy interior straight away. It was the time machine. I ran up to the controls, but they were still broken. Damn, I thought. I couldn't take it anymore. I just broke down. I started banging on the broken controls in dire frustration. I want to go home. 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 I miss my small town. I miss my apartment. I even miss Sean, I sobbed. Right when I said that, something happened. Lights shot out and the room burst with movement, quickly followed by a crash. The room had shifted once more. I opened the door and coughed from the dust still settling. But the dust had a familiar taste. I recognized it from when it was kicked up on my walks to work. I looked around and I was right. I was home. The machine sat crashed outside my apartment. And there they were. Sean, Patton, I shouted excitedly. Hi, Stephen, they said back. Oh, I'm back. I can't believe this. I was in space, and I went to the future, and then I went to the past, and then I was nowhere, but now I'm back, and you don't know how happy I am to see you guys, I blurted. My excitement was too much to make me hold back. Does this mean you want to go squirrel catching? They said, excitedly. No. Who's the idiot who invented that game anyway? I snapped back. I was finally gathering my wits. You are, Stephen, they said with pride, and they burst out laughing. I'm going back, I muttered to myself in frustration.
Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo
und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.